Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 2, we were taught of the example that Christ left us to endure through our suffering and to bear fruit while doing so. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In John 1:18, do we not read, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Jesus Christ reveals the very heart of God to us. That's what's meant by declaring his name. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the express image of his person. But in using the term brethren, he is now identifying with us. Think of that. The Almighty God and Creator of the universe, he became poor to ransom my soul, that he may identify with me, not as master, servant, as with angels, rather as brethren. In declaring his person and character, the Lord Jesus is ever, by his Holy Spirit, directing us to 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in Christ Jesus, my friend. And we go to verse 13 here of Hebrews 2. "And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given to me." Oh, what a blessed verse again this is. By putting trust in him, we find clear reference to the fact that Jesus Christ would take on a mortal body, and in that body of humiliation would walk on this earth with his dependence and trust in the Father. While subject to totally to human limitations, his humanity was subjected unto the Father. What an example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, we read, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his step, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, whose own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live into righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul." You know, he could have used his power in holiness to destroy, but instead, he used his power to endure. And he showed us how to bear fruit with patience while doing so. We are to live by faith, my friend. And since he is our Father, we should be of the same mind as he. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I think of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Or John 13:34 and 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." He says we're to love others as he loves us. to love the brethren as he loved us. That's when you're getting more like Jesus. And doesn't Jesus put up with a lot from us? Didn't he put up with a lot from his disciples? And he still loved them? Now, a lot of times our love is based on whether they treat us right or not. And that's not the way it was with Jesus Christ. We'd all be in hell if it had been any other way. So having seen the perfection, Jesus Christ, that perfection that brings us to sanctification, the next thing we want to see is strengthening through fellowship. And now we're looking at the partnership that leads to sanctification in verses 14 through 16. Now, as children are, so is Christ for us. Now, let me read verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, that is the devil, that had power of death, that is the devil. The devil has the power of death. And so Jesus came that he might destroy him. Jesus Christ, again, is Almighty God in the flesh. The incarnation is a vital part of the New Testament truth. Its implication is seen in the book of Ruth. Ruth, a Moabitess, is cut off from any part in Israel until the 10th generation, according to the Mosaic law, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Boaz, a mighty man of wealth, was interested in Ruth and shows her grace and kindness. And after Ruth tells her mother-in-law, she says, the man is near of kin to us. And the whole book of Ruth hinges on the near of kin redeeming Ruth because of his kinship relationship. Well, my friend, that is what Jesus Christ did for us. Jesus Christ is Almighty God come in the flesh. He became near of kin to humanity by becoming the Son of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that sons of men might become sons of God. And yet, he did so without sin. Children of men are partakers of flesh and blood. They receive from their parents. Jesus Christ likewise took part of the same. The Greek word is not the same word for partakers. Rather, it implies taking part of something outside oneself. In other words, his flesh is from Mary, but his blood is from Almighty Deity. My friend, it should offend any Christian when anyone denies that the blood which flowed through Jesus' veins was not the blood of Almighty God. And when somebody denies the virgin birth, that person is not saved. But remember, it wasn't the virgin who was Almighty Deity. It was Jesus Christ, and Christ alone, who was Almighty Deity. He was very God, and just as truly man. He took flesh from Mary only in regard to flesh, but in regard to blood. He is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus had to take on flesh in order to die for us. In his original sphere of existence, he wasn't capable of dying, for he was God, and God is not capable of dying. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In body, He is the Son of Man. In blood, he is the Son of God. A body is given him that he might offer his life in payment for the sin debt of man. That through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. You know, the word destroy is defined as to bring to naught, to render inoperative. Satan was not annihilated at the cross, but his power was broken. Spiritual death, therefore, cannot hold the person who puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Physical death can only keep his corruptible body in the grave, but not his spirit. That's why we read in Philippians chapter 1, where it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, that is, the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Not just better, but he says far better. When you have eternity set in your heart, then you see the need to fulfill God's will, while knowing at the same time, physical death is merely a promotion. In Philippians 3, 20 and 21, we read, "For our conversation, that is our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ provides the believer with eternal life, and his body with glorification at the rapture. Romans 8:23 calls it the adoption. My friend, the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, was just as important as the death of Christ. And having become man, Jesus Christ became our champion, who went forth to destroy the great Goliath. The cross for Christ was the Valley of Elah, in which he destroyed him who had the power of death. That is, his power of death, Satan's power of death. There Christ met our cruel foe and put an end to his authority over the souls of those who trust Christ as Savior. No Christian need fear death. Why? Because Satan hath been vanquished. Death is now one of the things God actually gives his people. Think of that.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.